Production. Recorded live.
Welcome to the Customer Experience Optimization Online Talk Show. We're here with Ingrid Lindberg from ChiefsCustomer.com and myself, Lynn Hunsaker at ClearActionCX.com. And today our topic is Customer Experience Analytics. We have three questions that we typically cover in this half-hour show, and we welcome all of our listeners to join us when we do these recordings in our online chat room at tinyurl.com/CEM-show, Customer Experience Management hyphen show. So today our three questions are, what is Customer Experience Analytics and what is it not? And how do you establish it? And then thirdly, how do you bring it to life? So I'll start off with my opinion about customer experience analytics and what I think it should be and what I think it is not. I see a lot of times we take the route of the canned reports from our service providers or our dashboards from online surveys and things like that. And in and of themselves, they look great. They're usually beautifully presented on the slides. But I think that analytics really means that we're looking for meaning in terms of how does this data tell a story for managers to act upon. So in a nutshell, that's the difference between what it isn't and what it should be. Ingrid, what are your opinions about it?
You know, I think that analytics is probably one of the more interesting pieces of the customer experience puzzle, Lynn, because what we have are all of these companies, and I loved your comments about it's hot, 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 right? Ooh, it is so hot, right? So everybody's talking about customer experience. Everybody's apparently doing customer experience. But when you start to get into the conversation around the analytics of it, you generally get a lot of blank stares, right? You get a lot of blank stares. And what I will see so many companies gravitate towards as their quote-unquote customer experience analytics are things like their CSAT, their monthly operating report, you know, all of these different pieces that measure the health and well-being of a business. And when I talk about customer experience analytics, what I'm talking about is truly a dashboard that allows a company to see when they're pulling customer experience levers, how does that then impact operational performance, and how does that then impact client and customer satisfaction and loyalty? So it's that full view of the full long tail, right, that says if you make this change and you pull this lever, what's going to happen? So will you first see the change in the operation, second see the change in how your customers feel about you, third, see the change in long-term loyalty, as an example. So it's that full end-to-end of change through impact through outcome. And that's how I talk about customer experience analytics. Make sense?
Well, I love that. I think that it can be as simple as looking for patterns in your data. And we tend to approach data with preconceived categories, and that's all good to start off with. For example, the large customers versus the small company customers, or the ones in Europe versus the ones in America, or whatever. But what I found to be even more enlightening is to look at the data without any kind of categorizations or labels, and see what comes out of the data in terms of using a scatter plot or taking the high rankings and the low rankings and comparing and contrasting the demographics and purchasing information that we have associated with those customers. And right there, you can begin to find some stories in your data. So predictive analytics is usually what we'll want to gravitate toward in order to see a cause and effect. But you don't really have to pay the big bucks in order to see some of these patterns. Just play with the data in some various groupings, and then also see if you can combine it with some operational metrics, operational information. For example, when you launch something or change something in your manufacturing or your packaging or so forth, was there some kind of corollary in the data? So, Ingrid, tell us a little bit more about what you have seen it be that it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I love that, though, Lynn. I totally love that. I love the pattern, right? Seeking the patterns. And I think before we even get into the what it should or shouldn't be, I talk all the time, and I always try to hire. Whenever I go in and I'm, you know, helping a company formulate their customer experience team, or, goodness, I'm hiring my own, there's a certain type of person that I look for. And I think I take it for granted that everybody, I refer to them as seers, right? Seers. Someone who has the ability to see things. But when it comes to some of those patterns and the pattern seekers, it really truly is a specialized skill set, right? It's someone who has the ability to kind of lift above the data and, to your point, look at it without the traditional markings and titlings, right? And to be able to look across full data sets and start to call out pieces of data that may or may not come across as unmet or unstated needs. And the people who have the ability to do that are just some, honestly, of the best employees I have ever been able to find, hire, and place in organizations, because they're the ones who have that total, you know, secret sauce of being able to identify what those patterns mean, even when, you know, some of your best predictive analytic people or your informatics people or whatever you choose to call them, they're not able to see it. There's that really specialized skill set of people who can see stuff in the data that just isn't as clear to, I think, you know, those who are much more, maybe have more of a bent towards looking for more traditional patterns. Have you run into that before, Lynn?
Well, I think that one of the questions you could ask in an interview with somebody is, what kind of games do you like to play? And if they really love word games and puzzles and things like that, then they may have an inclination toward finding those kinds of patterns.
For sure. I never thought about doing that.
Yeah.
Sending
for
them
example,
on treasure hunts.
Yeah, I think that Boggle is really a great training ground for this kind of analysis. If you can get your team to play Boggle at lunch or something once a month or a couple, whenever it works out, it's a great way to really appreciate the different perspectives that different people bring to something. And it is humbling and eye-opening to stretch our minds and our curiosity and our creativity to look at things from different angles.
I love that. I've never honestly thought about having a team play a game in the middle of the day to do that stretch or to identify. I tend to do horrible things to candidates, like send them on treasure hunts to see what they come back with, right? I mean, but, you know, hey, that's how you do it. It's fascinating, right? You have to be able to figure those people out. So I think going back to, you know, analytics as a whole, right, and true customer experience analytics, one of the things that I have found time and time again that it is not, is truly just looking at things like customer satisfaction or just looking at retention or just looking at effort. And, you know, I say those things, a lot of those, net promoter score, net effort score, customer effort score, whatever, all tend to be talked about as kind of the holy grail of analytics. And what I have to remind people of is that's simply a metric. That's not the underlying analytics that will lead you to identifying things that will be true levers you can pull that can change the game for you, right? That can actually change the game for you. And just a great story example of one of the times that we ran across this with a client. We were doing work with them, and, you know, their customer satisfaction scores were really high, and they were doing really well. It was one of those companies that didn't have a burning platform, that didn't truly have anything really wrong with it. And so we were trying to figure out how to continue to make changes that would continue to keep them on the top of their game. And one of the things that we found was that they had limited service hours where you actually could talk to a professional via chat or email or on the phone. And it was fascinating to me because, you know, really high customer satisfaction, really high loyalty scores, super high retention, all of the things were in place. But when we actually started to kind of look at the compounding data around when people were hitting an interactive voice response unit or when people were getting a bounced back email saying we're not here right now or when people were clicking on chat to try to access something outside of the normal hours, we started to find just significant numbers around people who were trying to get in contact with this company but couldn't during that time period. And, you know, no one had ever said we need different hours of access, and nowhere in any of their data or metrics or analytics had anyone ever found and been able to pull all these different channel pieces together to say, hey, look, we know that this isn't something that they're, you know, that we're offering right now. We know it's not something that people are physically asking us for, but oh my gosh, there's obviously a need, because if there wasn't a need, people wouldn't be hitting all of these, you know, inboxes and different channel approaches during a time when we're not there. So it's things like that, right? It's things like being willing to really explore across all sorts of operational silos and organizational silos to get to all the different pieces so you can actually make the full picture. Does that, I mean, do you agree with that, Lynn? Have you, what have
Absolutely.
You seen in your world?
Oh, yes. I've helped clients take a look at data that they have from different sources. For example, the marketing organization has their survey, and then the customer service organization had their survey. And then there were other sources of data, and we took all of these data sources and analyzed common points across them. For example, if you could break it down to the various locations that the company did business, and compare and contrast the voice of the customer and the other operational information, it began to tell a fuller story. So in and of themselves, each of those reports were awesome. But when we combined them and really dug down, we began to find another really enriching story that, you know, everything had gotten a little bit static over time, and this breathed new life into it. So I think that there's a lot of value to that. Another thing that your story triggered for me, Ingrid, was when people can approach data from a different angle than they have before. For example, normally we have personas that we've identified and segments that we've identified for customers. But if we just take the data and look at it according to what are the expectations of the telling us in the customer's comments, for example. We did this with one client, and putting all of the other blinders aside and all the filters aside and just saying, okay, well, this group of customers has this kind of an aura or emphasis in their comments, and then this group of customers. And then we revealed who are these customers, and we found a very simplifying way to manage customer experience by doing just that. And we found that we were also way ahead of where we thought we would be with understanding the whole customer journey and just looking at the customer comments in that way. And so I think that customer experience analytics is a topic that we actually don't talk about enough, Ingrid.
Well, and to your point, Lynn, right, we don't talk about it enough because we're always talking about the metrics. Right? I mean, everybody gets so wrapped around my net promoter score says blank. And I'm like, oh my gosh, but there's so much else out there beyond the net promoter score. So, you know, how mm-hmm. we can pull people kind of away and aside from that. I think, you know me, Lynn, I'm such a storyteller. This is one of my favorite stories to tell. Would you humor me? It's a great one about, you know, massive change that we were able to find. So this was in a healthcare plan many, many, many years ago. And we were working with one of our clients at that healthcare plan, and they had an interest. One of the things that they offered was, you know, it was a bonus, right, was that your annual physical was free. Your annual physical was free. So you could go to the doctor once a year, and of course, you know, from a health plan perspective, we wanted people to stay healthier. So going once a year helps you to stay healthier. But it was a really nice kind of positive. This is before legislation had been passed that mandated that, you know, once a year your checkup was free. And so this client had a population, and the population was of Haitian Creole descent. And they had been able to identify, and we had helped them, that this population was not ever going to the doctor for their free annual physical. And it was fascinating, right? Because this was a big piece of the customer experience. This was a huge, if you think about how do you show value in healthcare, that's a great value statement, right? We know that drives customer experience. So we sat down with this client. We were doing a ton of work. And one of the human resources analysts at this client came back and said, you know what, I was looking at some other data that we had, and this same population, and this the client was one of the companies that puts food on planes, right, that does the catering for airplanes. And she said the same Haitian Creole population also does not actually pick up the free work boots that we give them. Right, that we give them. So we've now identified through two completely distinct data sources that this population is not going in and getting its annual physical that's free. And we've also identified that they're not picking up the free work boots that were being offered by their employer. And, you know, it was an interesting moment because to your point about kind of distilling and getting away from all the personas and getting away from, you know, the complexity of trying to do design, we went to something as simple as a segment that was based on a socioeconomic demographic, right? Something that simple. These were people of Haitian Creole descent. And what we were able to figure out really quickly was that the word free was a negative word and had a negative connotation for their culture. So if I get something for free, I'm going to have to pay you back for it. So something as simple as understanding that, right? Talk about voice of customer that you're never going to find in a Net Promoter Score survey.
Right.
But to me, that's customer experience analytics, right? That's customer experience analytics. And what we were able to do for the client was we stopped talking about that annual physical as something that was free, and instead we started talking about it as something you've already paid for because we're taking money out of your paycheck every single week, right? And then they stopped talking about the boots is free, and they started talking about them as a perk of the job. It's just, you know, it's like your uniform, you just get it. And, I mean, in both scenarios, we saw a significant behavior change that not only improved employee engagement at that client, but also improved customer experience at that health plan. Isn't that incredible? I love that.
It's
great example,
awesome.
Right?
Well, there are two very basic lessons from that story that I take away. And one is don't get too caught up in what you think voice of the customer is in order to just hear your doggone customers.
It's not that hard to listen if you just pay attention for 2 seconds, right?
Or I should say doggone hear your customers. The customers are great. They're not doggone, but the hearing is, right? So we get so wrapped up in what we think is the way that we have to listen or we should or the best practice to listen. And sometimes it's just frankly listening, keeping it human. So I would encourage people to experiment with different listening techniques. And also what I loved about what you said is that the point of the customer experience data was to take action. The point of it was to do something to provide value to customers. And I think that often gets lost in the way that we manage customer experience, that we're trying to provide value to our revenue stream. And that's all really important, but in the course of it, we sometimes forget all the ways that we could be providing value just in the way we manage customer experience, and especially in the way that we inspire managers to act upon the customer experience data. And to me, that's the whole point of customer experience analytics. How do you inspire your employees across the board in every functional area to do something different in the way they do their job and the way that they make their decisions so that the customer experience is better tomorrow than it was yesterday?
Oh, love it, Lynn. I love that. I think you'll appreciate this. That's a great line. We should write that down. I think you'll appreciate this one. I was giving a talk last week to the top 150 leaders at a pretty big financial services institution. And we were doing one of those, you know, live voting on the fly during my talk, right? So I'd ask them questions and they'd get to vote. And one of the questions that I asked was, okay, you know, how customer-centric do you feel like you are? You know, and of course, everybody, the top 150 leaders, they were all like 100% customer-centric. I'm like, okay. So next question, how do you ensure, or do you ensure that you take your decisions and base them on what's best for the customer? And people were a little bit more honest on that one. It was kind of like 50-50, you know, so we don't always use the customer as our guidepost for our decision-making. You know, we want to get it to 100, but okay, 50-50 is an okay place to be. And the next question I asked was, how often do you actually consult voice of customer or customer experience analytics in your decision making? And it was like 90% of the time they didn't. And so I just did like a quickie follow-up and I was like, okay, so why not? Why not? And the number one reason this top 150 group didn't consult customer experience analytics or voice of customer in their decision making process was because they didn't have access to it. And I think, you know, if we start really pulling apart analytics, it's not just some little special thing that your customer experience team gets to hold on to, right? It's to your point, how do you take that information and push it out as far and as wide and as fast as you possibly can in such a way that, you know, not everything will become actionable and not everyone will get to make change on it because there's just no way. Companies can't keep up with that. But at least you're giving people the opportunity to see it. And that is one of the most fascinating things that I see, right, is people hold on to all of this data or hold on to all the analytics. And how do you kind of pull it out of their, pry it out of their hands, Lynn?
Well, I think that intranet sites are really a wonderful thing. A lot of companies have plasma screens up in various places in their company and a lot of other places, ways that they can communicate. And the beauty of customer experience information is that you can share it. So I'd love to hear that there are so many managers that have a dashboard on their desk of real-time data. But in reality, it's bringing to life the stories that the data is telling and spreading it far and wide, wallpapering your employees' world with customer experience information so that they can empathize with customers, they can see how their own job has an impact on customer experience. And that takes some real doing in terms of finding those stories and synthesizing them to small nuggets that employees can digest day by day, making it part of your culture, and not just once a month, let's have our readout, that kind of a thing, but really just helping people have quick access, as you say, Ingrid, as far and wide as possible to insights that help them be more in tune with customers.
Well, for sure, and I think, you know, part of it too, because there is so much data and there is just so much, right? I mean, there's so much information. I've become a huge, huge fan. You know, I love I love the plastering and the making walls and pushing out stories. But one of the tricks that I have learned, it's interesting because when you first put it out there, people aren't necessarily as prone to using it. But once it's been out and available for like 6 or 9 months, you'll start to see utilization getting higher and higher and higher. I dump data. I literally will take all of the verbatims and put them somewhere where everybody in the company can get to them. Or I'll take all of the post-call surveys and post-web interaction surveys. I mean, I literally just open source all the data that I possibly can. And just say, hey, you know, we've got access to it. We aren't that, you know, we're not that more special than you or any more special than you. So here's how we're making our decisions. Here's what we're working off of. You should have access to it too. And it is incredible to me, once you kind of open those doors and just let people have access to the information that's out there, behavior starts to change because then it isn't, oh, well, this is the customer experience team trying to tell you to do this. Then it really does truly become, hey, this is about, you know, what our customers are telling us. You've got access to it too. And it's just such a cool, it's such a cool piece of the transformation puzzle for me. So I'm such a dork, aren't I, Lynn? Sorry, I get all excited
about
these things.
We love this stuff. That brings to mind experiences that I had too, and kind of the story that you gave about the free stuff and the way that people interpreted that. I found that as my team went and sat with different groups or mingled with different functional areas in the company, we began to understand their language and their cycles. And so we began to tailor our customer experience analytics to meet the timing that they would be able to digest information more readily than other timing, put it in the format and the modes, and weave it into things that those employees were already doing, whether it be a certain gathering that they had or a certain place that they would pass by, certain reports or, you know, whatever. We timed things and we tried to make it really woven in with what different groups in the company actually needed instead of trying to get them to adapt to us. And as we did that, we found that people were very much more receptive and eager to have it. Everyone wants to be loved by customers. So we just had a lot of fun with that, and I think that's a great lesson for people.
Oh, that's great. I love the moving it towards their timing, right? It's that whole, you have to flex to your customers inside as much as you have to flex to your external customers, right? I mean,
that's right.
That's a part of the whole thing. That's a part of the whole thing. Our time always goes so fast when we do this, Lynn. I'm never sure how that even possibly happens.
I know. We have about 3 minutes left. So anyone who wants to ask a question, we'd love for you to chime in now.
So what tricks have you found on bringing it to life while we wait to see if anybody pops up the question on chat? What other things
have
you used to bring it to life?
Especially helping your executives to be able to tell those stories, giving them perhaps some tickler lists or some wallet cards that or badge cards that they can refer to remember to weave in a story about a customer experience. I love what Amazon does. They, at the beginning of every meeting, they have to share something about a customer. And it can be positive or negative, an anecdote or a metric or whatever. And then what I also heard Amazon, because somebody I knew was newly hired there, every time they want to submit an idea, you know, submit a suggestion for how to move forward in the business, it needs to be written up within the context of customer experience. So I don't know that every company has the wherewithal to be that formal or rigorous with it, but I do find that line of thought is really interesting and appealing.
I think for sure getting the stories into people's hands is key. And one of the things that one of my employees came up with at one of my last gigs was we started doing a voice of the customer video every single week. So there was a new video of a real person telling their real story every week. And we ended up using the same people, right? So, I mean, you weren't meeting a new person every week, but over the course of a year, you would hear all, you know, maybe 10, 15 different parts of a person's story. So you really got to know them. And we found that level of personalization and that connection between the employee population and one of the customers helped everyone to really be able to start to tell better customer stories. Loved that one. Such a heartstring puller. It was an absolutely great campaign that we did.
That's a fabulous idea. Something that everyone can do and get a lot of mileage from. If you just interview a customer and record it for about a half hour, then take 5-minute snippets or even 90-second snippets and then parcel them out over the course of several months. I think that's an awesome idea.
It's so cool.
Well, Ingrid,
we are
at the end of our call today. Do you have any parting thoughts?
Nope, just looking forward to next month, Lynn. What are we going to talk about next? I love our chat.
Yes, well, I think we're going to be talking about customer experience improvement based on analytics or predictive, maybe customer lifetime value. It's between those two subjects. So if anybody has a vote, please just email us. We'll be loving to hear from you. And please keep the conversation going by contacting us on our social media or chiefcustomer.com, clearactioncx.com. And if you love these talk shows, you can subscribe to them on your iTunes. Just click the button that's on the homepage, tinyurl.com/CEM-show. So that's it today for the Customer Experience Optimization Show. I want to thank Ingrid Lindberg for joining me in our conversation today. And thanks to all of you. Best wishes to you in optimizing customer experience.